Welcome to a special Pest Central limited series celebrating the 50th anniversary of integrated pest management. This collaborative effort focuses on the history and future of IPM in the North Central region and features university faculty and agency staff interviews from around the region. This work is supported by the USDA National Institute of Food and Agriculture and the North Central IPM Center. This podcast is edited and produced by Michigan State University Extension. MSU is an affirmative action equal opportunity employer. Michigan State University Extension programs and materials are open to all.
Happy 50th anniversary, IPM, from the University of Missouri.
Happy 50th anniversary, IPM, from University of Missouri.
I'm Mandy Bish, the IPM coordinator at the University of Missouri. And here with me today is my cohort or partner in crime or colleague, Sam Pauly. Sam is our PSEP coordinator at the University of Missouri. He's very knowledgeable about everything pesticide safety oriented, and so we're excited to have him here today. I'm going to start this episode, set it up with a little historical factoid. Approximately 3/4 of American households use pesticides, with 1/3 using insecticides in the absence of pests. With 4.4 billion home applications, that's a lot of pesticides being applied. And it kind of sets us up for today's episode, which is discussing the spray and go mentality. So Sam, can you define for us what the spray and go mentality is?
Sure. So what we see is a lot of people who apply pesticides without making sure the pest is actually present or at a harmful level. And then on the flip side of that, not going back and making sure the application was effective. And there's two different terms that kind of go hand in hand. It's safe and effective. And so both those come back to following the label and proper training and good application technique. But basically what we find is this ties in with American culture. We're in such a hurry to get something done quickly, we don't want to take the time to look into the science and be informed if it's really appropriate. And so I have colleagues with master's degrees setting bug bombs off in their houses inappropriately and all kinds of examples of misuse of pesticides because people panic, they're in a hurry. So that's really it's blind pest control. And a lot of times in the field, we call it blow and go. But that's the spray and go mentality.
Thanks. So full disclaimer, I have yet to invite Sam and his family over to my house because, you know, I don't know if where I'll end up on this evaluation here. Getting back to the real business, let's talk about the consequences of that type of mentality. What are some of the consequences of this approach?
Yeah, the three major consequences that just pop up in my head every time is one is human health. I have the stories I get in my position of farmers using their arm to mix the pesticide when the agitator's broken, and they soak it right through their skin, end up in the hospital or with rashes, and don't go to the hospital because they're embarrassed or don't want anybody to know. The different health effects from that kind of thing. Kids actually being poisoned. Unfortunately, I hear about those. I have pictures of those. So human health effects are phenomenal, and there's all that. Everybody's heard about the Monsanto lawsuits with Roundup, which that's a whole other issue, but you start thinking about cancer and some of these autoimmune disorders going around, and then you look at those particular people you know with those and their handling of disinfectants and pesticides with no gloves, no eye protection, and it makes you wonder. And so that's a real problem is human health, and it's so avoidable. The second thing would be environmental health. I have just recently one of our specialists sent me a picture of a pond with dead fish all over the surface. They let their drift of their pesticide hit the pond, boom, the fish are done. Water quality issues, bee kills, I have pictures of bee kills. So it's just, again, avoidable if people would follow the label and use good practice. And the third thing, this is one that people don't really think about so much, and it's unfortunately something I'm very familiar with, increased regulations. And this hurts us all because pesticides are really like firearms. My kids and I go out and shoot deer and ducks and we eat those. That's how we get cheap and healthy food. And we follow the Ten Commandments of firearm safety. We point the weapon in the right direction. We keep them unloaded unless we're actually going to shoot the animal. It's the same thing with pesticides. If you use them properly with good science and good training, they're safe and effective. But unfortunately, a lot of the public that makes the big fuss and claims to be green or organic or safe, they're actually the ones you can see doing a lot of misapplication because, again, they're in this hurry, give me now culture. So the health, environment, and regulatory issues, as we mess up with pesticides, what happens is those pesticides get banned or severely restricted, and that just inhibits our ability to take care of termites or bed bugs in the home or disinfect the surfaces and food preparation facilities. And so it's really having a lot more impact than most people realize on the regulatory realm.
Thanks for that. Sorry. And I guess I have another question on this that's off script. So do you think that this mentality is lack of education, or it is all about the haste, the fast-paced lifestyle, or is it a combination,
I think
or
it's really a combination. There's a tremendous amount of a lack of education, and even with all the effort of extensions and some of the different organizations, departments of natural resources, different organizations that do pesticide training around the country, there's a big gap that we need to do a better job of bridging to get the information into people's minds, but at the same time, shift the culture and change the attitudes as a part of our education.
so that kind of brings us to the solutions to this spray and go mentality. So you want to talk a little about those?
Yeah, and that's really what I think there's a huge movement right now all over the country as I talk to my colleagues in my realm of pesticide safety education is trying to, and I think it's still something that's being addressed, but trying to better engage society. And what I mean by that, not just having some fact sheets sitting in an extension office in a county somewhere, or having a couple of blogs that three people read, but really getting out in the community's face and engaging them in such a way that they stop and listen and say, oh, wow, I need to make change. And that's what true education is about.
So why don't you tell the audience a little about some of the efforts you've started? So you've been here since 2021,
Yeah,
2000.
20, something like that, a year and a
Okay,
half.
yeah. So go ahead and tell the audience a little about some of your initiatives to work on
Yeah.
this education.
So, kind of my job description is really to train our commercial applicators and our private applicators, which would be the farmers. But I knew just kind of instinctively we have to reach the kids, we have to reach the next generation. And so, one of the things I just kind of hit the floor running with, I thought it would be further down the road, but I got some opportunity and I ran with it. I developed a youth curriculum and I've gotten to go out to 4-H and FFA events and teach a couple of thousand kids just in my first year. And this thing just kind of developed a life of its own and it's starting to take off. Other extension people have heard about it, seen a little bit of it, and they're starting to get excited and want to be involved. And that just spreads it because I can't be everywhere at once. But what I've done is I developed a curriculum it's fairly short, anywhere from 10 minutes to maybe 40 minutes. And I do an engaging, sort of fast pace, I guess you could call it a rapid change up kind of a program where I engage the kids and keep them thinking. I catch them off guard on some questions and exercises that they maybe spurt out an answer and it's wrong. And I know actually it's this. And they're like, huh? I catch them off guard to shake them up, jump to a different style of presentation. I go from an intense story of pesticide application gone wrong, where one of my coworkers got poisoned, to maybe showing them some actual chemicals and that look kind of, I don't know, interesting and different colors and that kind of thing. And then maybe have a little catastrophe. I'm actually developing with one of our horticulture specialists and a fake spill where he spills something on the ground and it reacts and smokes. And that kind of stuff really engages kids and keeps them thinking. And the first few presentations I had kids who were actually like some of the troublemakers of the classes come up and say, Mr. Pauly, your presentation was the best one in the whole event. And they're really excited about it. And their teachers are like, wow, I learned so much here today. And so they're excited. I could see right off the bat, this is working and I have the right idea. And so I'm trying to build this and advance it, but other people are starting to want to get involved and more opportunities are popping up and people in other states are starting to look at it. And I think, that's really the model we should be following in all of our other training, having more hands-on live demonstrations that engage people, and they come away thinking, wow, that was worth my time. And that's the problem we've had talking to my pesticide applicator trainers, is they've had a hard time grabbing a hold of that. They're all so busy. Now that I'm here, I'm able to start coordinating this and getting some excitement in the educational community and in the learning community, our audience. So that's kind of where we're heading with that.
Yeah, Sam has done. We've only had time today to really talk about the youth activities, but he's also formed very strong relationships with the state specialist, which is in turn helping update our commercial application materials as well. So if you have any questions or want more information on some of Sam's tips, you can reach him by email. It's Polly
It's
S. Sorry.
SJPKKF. They really changed the system when they came
You
here.
can look him up on MU Extension. And then we also have our website, which is ipm.missouri.edu, and our IPM social media accounts on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, hopefully someday TikTok, right?
Yeah.
And then the Missouri Department of Agriculture and the US EPA also have resources. So thanks again for listening today, and happy anniversary, IPM.
Thanks for joining us to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Integrated Pest Management. Check the show notes for resources mentioned in this podcast, and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes.